today is Monday, March 11th, and welcome to episode 308 of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you quickly up to speed three times a week on the national security and foreign policy debates shaking up America. I'm NSI's founder and executive director, Jamil Jaffer. I'm joined today by NSI's deputy director, Jessica Jones, and senior fellows Lester Munson and Morgan Vigna. So today we're talking about Haiti, the island nation 700 miles off the coast of Florida. Haiti is once again convulsed with violence and threats to its political system. The current acting president, acting prime minister, Ariel Henry, is not even in the country. He was in Kenya trying to build support for a peacekeeping mission. On his way back, he was unable to land this past Tuesday and ended up in Puerto Rico. The country, meanwhile, is controlled largely by gangs. About 80% of the capital, Port-au-Prince, is controlled by criminal gangs who have captured prisons or seized prisons and released over 5,000 prisoners. Even more interesting, the former coup leader who removed former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, supported by the United States, from power in 2004, Guy Philippe, has returned to Haiti after serving a multi-year jail sentence in American prison for drug trafficking. The United States released him and then deported him to Haiti. One wonders whether that was the right play now that he is looking to come to power. And a gang leader, prominent gang leader, Jimmy Barbecue Charizé, has been saying that he's ready to take Henri out of power. The political class in Haiti is deeply concerned. They have significant interest in keeping Henri in power, but have been unsuccessful in doing so. And now the question is, will Barbecue come to power? Will it be Guy Philippe? Who else is around? And the United States, for its part, which has intervened in Haiti many times under the Monroe Doctrine and other principles, is now refusing to get involved actively. We have supported or tried to find somebody to help lead a peacekeeping mission there. We asked the Canadians. We asked a variety of other folks. Ultimately, the Kenyans said they would step up, although they haven't arrived yet. The U.S. has pledged over $200 million to support that effort. But beyond that, is doing little to support. I will note one last thing before we jump into it. Former Senator and now U.S. President Joe Biden, in 1994, when Haiti was convulsed by violence as well, and the United States ultimately restored Jean-Bertrand Aristide to power under the leadership of President Bill Clinton, once said that it might make sense for the United States to just allow Haiti to sink into the ocean. It wouldn't be the worst thing ever. The only reason he thought we ought to be engaged in Haiti, if you can imagine that, was because it helped us get other stuff done in Latin America. So that's at least back in the day. That was President Biden's position, so no surprise that he's not as engaged as one might expect here. Lester, you are our resident Haiti expert. Talk to us about what's going on. Tell us what we should be thinking of next.
Jamil, Joe Biden's policy 40 years ago was as incoherent as his policy today. Yes, Haiti is a huge challenge to the U.S. Because there is very little stability there politically and economically. It's a basket case of a country. It's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. It is a huge policy challenge. There are no easy answers here, let's be clear. Nevertheless, this crisis has been going on for almost 3 years. The president was assassinated. Armed gangs are running the capital. There are public health crises in Haiti. The problems mount. There are terrible stories out there about bodies piling up in the streets. Something has to be done. The administration has been pursuing this kind of crazy ad hoc peacekeeping plan for years now. It has shown almost no scintilla of success. And to now say, because of some ideological predisposition, that direct U.S. action is off the table, I think is foolish. The crisis has metastasized to the point where there probably is going to have to be some sort of U.S. direct action. And that's because the policy the administration has been pursuing has utterly failed. No one has been calling them into account for this failure. Again, it's Haiti is on our shores. When trouble happens in Haiti, all the Haitians come to the United States. So this is something that directly impacts us, particularly Florida, but also other places. The U.S. needs to act. We cannot afford this kind of instability. It invites our adversaries, our global adversaries, into our region to come and solve the problem in the way they would solve it, which is going to be antithetical to our interests. So this is, I view this as a catastrophe of perhaps not the biggest in the world, but it's rapidly getting into the top tier of crises the U.S. is going to have to deal with.
So Morgan, what about it? I mean, Les says, look, we got to get involved. We're going to be drawn in no matter what. You know, back in the late, in the mid 90s, 76,000 Haitian boat people ended up on the shores of Florida. It's obviously, we already have a significant challenge with our border as it stands. What should we be doing here? I mean, your friend Ana Rosa Quintana was featured in some of these articles talking about it, saying that this is a tough situation. It's unclear. But I think she also views the Biden administration policies incoherent. If you were running it, Morgan, what would your coherent policy be?
Well, I don't disagree with Les. I think it's important to know that there are no white hats in Haiti. No aspiring leader in Haiti is clean. Gangs have zero interest in legitimate political power. They care about money and territory. That's about it. And so I think the United States and international community, you know, really have an opportunity here to provide good offices and facilitate a political agreement and a transition of power, whatever that may look like. The United States does not have a really great track record intervening in Haiti. So I think they need to be sort of very cautious when picking a candidate to back here. But I do think there's a lot that the United States can do. In particular, I think there's much that the Congress can do. You know, there is legislation that passed the House and is sitting in the Senate right now that requires reporting specifically on individuals that are harmful to the democratic process, and particularly those targeting gangs and the political ties they have to the government. And so I think we can do a lot to sanction those individuals that are harmful. There's more we can do to bolster our partner, the DR. The Dominican Republic is facing, you know, clearly borders Haiti. They face a lot of challenges, particularly with Haitians overflowing into their country. That's a potential huge problem for them. There are a number of ways, and not just how this is going to affect the United States, but the region as a whole, that I think we need to be considering here.
I should correct myself, by the way. The 76,000 Haitians that I mentioned was actually last year at the U.S. southern border, so not actually 94. That was actually last year. So, just what do we make of all this? I mean, you know, the U.S. has said we should have the president, Henri, should appoint a presidential college of like five, you know, civil society folks, people from academia, to help pick the next prime minister. They don't want Guy Philippe, notably, involved in that. But I mean, it seems like he might be the power broker. You know, I mean, what should the U.S. do here, and what are sort of the next steps we should think about?
You know, before that, you know, I want to agree with, you know, Morgan, unless I think, you know, President Biden and backing Henri over the years as when he became interim or acting prime minister, which was a controversial choice at the time. And I think he was just really hoping the headlines we're seeing wouldn't happen on his watch, right? Just kind of biding time. And unfortunately, you know, you see kind of this complete chaotic environment happening. And, you know, Morgan's right. You don't see stories about legitimate rule, like popular backings of one individual, but we know it's not Henri. And we know that people do want political change, right? And so I think, you know, when we think about U.S. Intervention, we do have to think, what is the long-term plan there? What, you know, we've heard all the stories about, you know, the abuse and the fraud, you know, everything from over a couple decades ago. Like, how do we prevent that from happening? How does the U.S. go there with some amount of credibility? But, you know, Haiti is a country that's used to outside countries picking its rulers, right? So any change from that is going to be huge and monumental. And I think, I'm not the Haitian expert like Les, but I do think that, you know, Henri's not, the fact that Blinken and him talked, the U.S., you know, pulling back support of Henri means he's out, right? And it's a matter of time and the next steps to be seen.
Well, Jess, I think you're right that while Haiti may be used to people picking their leaders, I'm not sure they like it. And we're seeing that play out right now. All right, folks, that's a wrap. Thanks so much to Devlin Burney, Claude Jennings, the NSI staff for the help in producing today's episode. Join us again on Wednesday, March 13th, for another episode of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute podcast that gets you smart fast on national security and foreign policy debates shaking America. Fault Lines is now on YouTube, so check out our channel for a video of today's episode. If you like what you heard or saw, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. See you on Wednesday.